Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
He who was before there was life walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the Roaring Lion. Oh, be still and behold him. Died with sinners and saints. Come on. He who died with sinners and saints, heal the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, came with blood to settle.
should stand. No legacy survive unless the Lord does raise the house in vain. Its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. Oh, glory be to Christ our King. Oh, glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. His will be done, His kingdom come, on earth as is above. Who is Himself our daily bread? Praise Him, the Lord of God.
Great I Am, the faithful and the true, will live with us. We look forward to the return of our conquering King, not coming as a baby in a humble estate, not coming as a man to be placed on a cross, tortured and beaten, but coming as a conquering King. So we celebrate that blessed hope we have. We celebrate that new life we walk in now. And Lord, may we live our lives in a way that gives all glory to King Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. This is the final week of our message series called The Thrill of Hope. Next week, we begin a brand new series that I am really excited about, have been working toward and thinking about, honestly, and praying about since the summer. And this series will be entitled Wiki Faith. Now, that's a strange name, but you'll just have to come next week and see. I believe it can be very impactful for our entire faith family, for all those who participate online as well. way that we can be challenged, encouraged, and inspired by the scripture to live the life of discipleship God's called us to. We try each January to focus on our core values as a church, and this year will be no different. We will also begin next Sunday morning a 30 days of prayer, and we have a special emphasis for that. So we really encourage you to participate next week, whether it be in person or online, and be prepared to join us with the information we give you for our prayer time as well. But for today, one final message that might fit the bill of a Christmas message. If I were to ask you what your favorite Christmas food is, I love to hear people's food traditions. And you've heard me talk enough that food's important to me, but I think it's a part of all of our holiday traditions. For me, growing up as a child, we had all the normal things you eat at the holidays, but we had this one dessert. My mother would make multiple desserts, but this one dessert, it was simple, cheap, easy to make, but it's not Christmas until I eat this two or three times, I feel like, through the season. When you make Rice Krispie candies, the way you would make that with marshmallows and butter and Rice Krispies, we would use cornflakes and green food coloring, lots and lots of green food coloring, and little candied cherries, and we would make a Christmas wreath that we would eat. And it's not Christmas till you eat one. And one of my sons, you're all over here, I don't know which one of you did it, that ate the last bit of the wreath. It was Moses? We're going to talk about it later, Moses. It's gone. The wreath is gone at our house. But it was a sad day for me to find that out. But here we are. So here we are. It was a special treat for me. I don't know what food was special to you in your home and what was important to you, but I read this recently. It said this, that the average Christmas meal in America tops 5,000 calories per person. What in the world are some of y'all eating is what I want to know. But a lot of Christmas wreath in that, 5,000 calories. And another statistic shows that leftovers cause some trouble as well. An average of 400,000 Americans will become very sick from food poisoning from Christmas leftovers. Now listen, it's 2 days past Christmas. If you've got it, you better eat it, okay? Eat it and get rid of it quick. You know, my motto, I don't like to eat things if I'm afraid they're too old. My motto is, when in doubt, throw it out. I know some people that their motto is more like, take a sniff and eat it quick, you'll be fine or you'll be sick. And it's one of those, you know, I don't know which you are, but if you're still working on those things, that's a good sign that Christmas is not that far behind us. Maybe for you, you're still cleaning up little bits and pieces of wrapping paper all over the floor. Maybe for you, you realize that the local stations have stopped the holiday music. It's gone until next November. And maybe you realize that the Hallmark Channel's winding down for about a week more and those movies will be gone. And it's like Christmas has passed and it's moving to a different place. Life is headed back to normal, whatever normal looks like this year. But the days that follow Christmas and the weeks and months that follow Christmas, have you ever thought about what those days and weeks and months were like in the scripture? We get a little bit of an idea of that, but it all is centered around really the person and the character of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. Now, we don't know much about Joseph. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but if you'll look through the scripture, you won't find one recorded word that Joseph spoke, not one word. What we will see are his actions, what he did. He really is somewhat of an obscure person in the nativity, an obscure person in the scripture. What we do know about him is he was a righteous man, and he was a man who obeyed the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him through dreams multiple times. Now, we talked about Joseph in week one of our series just a little bit, but today I want us to take a deeper look into his life and what we do know, because I think it will help you and me to see how we can live these next few weeks and months after Christmas as we move forward. Look at Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Let's discover the character of Joseph. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So two things really quickly we see about Joseph from this passage, about his character. Number one, Joseph was a man of grace and truth. He was a man of truth. He knew that if his wife was pregnant out of wedlock, that he had to divorce her. He had to put her away. He had the authority to have her stoned, from what we understand. But the reality was, he decided not to just be a person of truth, but to be a person of grace. And the scripture says that he was going to put her away quietly to divorce her. He was not going to make a public spectacle of her life, even though he could have. So we see he lived a life of grace and truth. The second thing we see about Joseph is that he obeyed God. He did what God told him to do immediately. God tells him, it's okay. This child is conceived from the Holy Spirit. He will save the world. Call his name Jesus. And so he takes Mary as his wife. So Jesus is born, and life after Christmas begins for Mary and Joseph. They remain in Bethlehem for a number of months, maybe even up to a couple of years, until the baby was old enough to travel. And so you think in these terms, as a small little infant born and the conditions of traveling in those days, they remained there in Bethlehem. The scripture tells us that the Magi who came from the east arrived bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this time God speaks to Joseph in another dream. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. It says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. It says, and he rose and took the child and his mother by night to depart for Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Now, I want us to notice a few aspects about the life of Joseph and life after Christmas. Now, you can write a few things down if you're writing them down. They'll apply to our lives. Number one, Joseph obeyed God. Look at verse 14 again of chapter 2. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. An angel appears to him and says, take the child and go to Egypt. What does Joseph do? He gets up the same night, takes the child, takes his Mary, and they head for Egypt. Now listen, that is obedience. My dad taught me years ago this little phrase, and we taught it to the kids around here back a few years too, and that is this: obedience is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude. Let me say it again. Obedience is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude. It's not obedience if you don't do what you're told to do. It's not obedience if you do what you're told to do but don't do it when you're told to do it. And it's not obedience if you do it with a bad attitude. All those together teach the idea of obedience. Can I be honest with you about my personal walk with the Lord? There are times that I do not do what God says. There are times that I do not. What about you? There are times that I don't. Sometimes I will do what God says, but I don't do it when He says. Sometimes I do what God says, but I don't do it with the best of attitudes. All of these would be disobedience. Why? Because Scripture shows us time and time again, especially in the New Testament, that attitude is just as important as action. How we're living, the reason and the motive behind, and what's happening in our mind, our heart, and our soul matters just as much as the routine of what we do with our steps. And so obedience is truly living those things out. Joseph obeyed God. Now listen, when Joseph obeyed God, there were some consequences to his actions. By hopping up really quick in the night, grabbing his wife, grabbing his son, the savior of the world, and heading for another country, for Egypt, he was having to leave behind some things. His business, he was leaving behind his ability to work, his tools. He would be leaving behind friends. He would be leaving behind family. There are consequences when you and I follow hard after God. There are. If you will be obedient, if I will be obedient, there will be consequences. But I will tell you that we also see from the life of Joseph, when we obey God, when he tells us his will, when he shows us his will, when he gives us his will in the Scripture, when the Holy Spirit unctions us and nudges us and calls us to something and we obey God, there is also a great privilege to be learned, in that we see that God always provides when we walk in obedience to him. Look at the next thing we see from Joseph. God provided for Joseph and his family. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2. And going into the house, they, that's the Magi, saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we read that story about these men that came from the far east. And as they followed the star, as they arrived to the young child much later, those months after Christmas, and they bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What happened to those gifts? What were they used for? We don't see Jesus 30 years later handing the apostles these cases of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to carry around everywhere they go. I think what would make sense, and what would be common sense to allude to, would be that those very things, those treasures, those great valuable gifts would have been used to sustain Mary and Joseph and Jesus when they moved to another country. I think that's a pretty normal way to think about that idea. So as we seek to obey God this year, listen, God will be our provider as well. I'm not saying if you commit to obey God today that someone's going to knock on your door this afternoon and give you some gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is this, is that God will provide as we walk in obedience to his call. I could give you example after example in my own life where God did just that. Many of you could do the same thing, that God, Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. When we walk in obedience to him, he always provides for our needs. Always does so. So Joseph was a man of great character and he obeyed. God provided for him in his obedience. And then the third thing we see, if you can write down, Joseph was part of God's plan of salvation. Joseph got to be part of God's plan of salvation. Look at verse 14 and 15 of chapter 2. It says, and he, Joseph, rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 tells us that it had been God's plan all along that the Messiah would come out of Egypt. Just like God's children, the Israelites, came out of Egypt in bondage 1,500 years before this. So 1,500 years before, Moses leads the Israelites out of bondage, out of Egypt, and Moses is a type picture of the Savior to come. He was designed, his life and him leading them out of bondage was designed to point forward to the future, to a Messiah that would come. So 1,500 years later, Hosea tells us the Messiah will come out of Egypt, and God speaks to Joseph and says, take your son to Egypt. And so he goes and he is safe there. So as we obey God, just like Joseph, we get to be a part of God's salvation plan as well. God will use your obedience and my obedience to draw people to himself, and he will use our obedience to help make disciples. How do I know that? The scripture's clear. It's clear that it is God's will that men be drawn to him. It is clear that it is his will that he receive glory, and it's clear that it is his will that you and I make disciples. So as we walk in obedience, God's going to provide the way for those very things to happen. Now, notice something interesting, though, in this passage. God sent Jesus and Joseph and Mary to Egypt to keep them safe. God sent the king of the Jews to Egypt to keep him safe. And this is the very place where 1,500 years, all of the Jews were enslaved and in bondage. I wrote it down this way. The land that once enslaved the Jews now protected their king. That's a powerful thought. How does that apply to your life and to mine? Well, what's your Egypt? What's the pain, the bondage, the difficulty, the circumstance you find yourself in? Please understand this. God has shown us over and over that he can take what was meant for harm, what was meant for evil, and he can use it for our good and his glory. He does it over and over again. I wrote it down this way. What you see as a problem, God can use as a platform for his glory. That place of bondage can become a place of breakthrough in your life. Your trial can become a testimony. Now, those sound like great words, but it's just a platitude if you don't apply it to your life. So how do you do that? Listen, I know people who know Jesus but are still living in bondage. I know people who know Jesus who are still wallowing in their pain and in their problems. I'm not saying God will remove all those problems. I'm saying God will use those problems as a platform for his glory. I'm saying God will take that bondage and will allow you to have a breakthrough because he doesn't want you to walk in bondage. There's no reason for that. We're not called to do that. He will take the trial and he will turn it into a testimony for his glory. How does he do that? It's by God's grace, and don't miss this, God's grace and your obedience. You and I have a part to play in that. Listen, I know plenty of people that have a problem that's not a platform. Why? Because they're not walking in obedience to God. I know people who know Jesus who are still stuck in bondage. Why? Because they're not walking in obedience to God. So I want to encourage you to realize that our part to play in this is not that we're going to make anything happen for the Lord. It's that God is already at work and his grace has already brought salvation and is working in our lives. And his desire is that we, like Joseph, say yes, that we, like Joseph, obey, that we, like Joseph, pay attention to the things around us. God might not speak to you through a dream. He might speak to you through a circumstance. He will definitely speak to you through his word. And so our job is to be obedient. Our job is to take those steps to follow through with what he has for us. Now, God speaks to Joseph in two more dreams. Look at chapter 2, verse 19 now, really quickly. It says this, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.'" And what does it say Joseph did? "And he rose, he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel." Verse 22, "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he, Jesus, would be called a Nazarene. So right here in these few simple verses, two more dreams, two more times that God spoke to Joseph in a dream, and two more times he paid attention and walked in obedience. He obeyed the voice of the Lord, and God blessed him for it. Now, Joseph is only mentioned one more time in all the scripture. We have this incredible story that takes place after the birth of the Savior in this couple of years. And then you have to fast forward about 10 years, and Joseph is mentioned when Jesus is in the temple at 12 years old. And then we never hear his name again in the scripture. Now, some theologians believe that 20 years later, when Jesus begins his earthly ministry and Mary's mentioned multiple times, that Joseph's probably already deceased and has died. We don't know. Probably so. The pages of scripture just don't mention him again. So really, in some ways, Joseph is one of the most obscure characters in the Nativity story. But again, that's why I think we can relate to him well. We too would be obscure maybe in God's grand story. But if we could simply live like Joseph, what a difference that would make for your life and for mine. Think about Joseph. Joseph was touched by the grace and truth of God. You and I can walk in the grace and the truth of God. Joseph lived out the grace and obedience of God. We can walk in the grace and we can live in the obedience of God. Joseph was part of God's salvation plan. You and I, we are part of God's salvation plan. God used a former place of pain to protect Joseph and the king of the world. God will use our trials and problems and pain to bring himself glory and to bring others to him and to point to the king of the world. But all this hinges on two qualities of Joseph. Joseph listened to God. Listen, God spoke to him no less than four times in a dream. I don't know about you, but that shows me that Joseph was paying attention. He was walking with the Lord when he heard those and understood. So Joseph listened to God and he paid attention. And secondly, he practiced obedience. He did what he was told to do. He did it when he was told to do it. Everything indicates he did it with the right attitude. He moved forward and did the things that God told him to do. Will you and I do the same thing? Will we, like Joseph, listen to God? Listen, how do you listen to God? He may speak to you in a dream. I know of at least one time I'm certain God spoke to me in a dream. I know others and have met people all around the world where God has spoken to them that way, and that's great. But don't sit around looking for God to speak to you in a dream. If you want to listen to the voice of God, do so by taking your Bible and opening it up today and listen as you read to the voice of God. Listen to the truth of God. Listen to the will of God. Now, he will speak in other ways, but friends, it will never contradict the Bible, and it will always be based on the scripture. So start with God's word. Dig into God's word. Listen to God. Listen to the voice of God. Pay attention to what he's saying around us. And then secondly, if we'll be used in the same way, we must practice obedience. Now I've got to tell you, this one is harder than it sounds. How many times has the Lord told me to do something and I hesitated for just a little while? Here's what I've learned about my own life. I don't know if it's true of your life, but it is of mine. Hesitation reduces motivation. In my life, if I hesitate, it reduces my motivation to follow through. If I hesitate and don't do something right away, there's a good chance it's not going to get done by me. And I think as a general rule for many of us, hesitation reduces motivation. So if God speaks to you and calls you to do something, can I tell you, do it. Don't wait to see if things get better. Don't wait to see if it gets easier. Don't wait to see if you can. If God calls you to it, take the step of obedience. Take that first step. Don't hesitate. What I would say is this. If God tells you to give something to someone, give it now. If God tells you to serve someone, serve them now. If God tells you to share the gospel with someone, share it now. If God tells you to go somewhere, go now. Don't hesitate. Go now. Give now. Live it now. Listen, hesitation really leads us to move away from what God has called us to do. So can I encourage you and encourage me, if we want to be obscure characters in the grand story of God, we'll never have our names probably written in a book like the scripture for certain, telling our story. But the reality is God has called you and I to live the same narrative, the same steps of obedience as Joseph, the same steps of obedience as those magi, the same steps of obedience as the early apostles, the same steps of obedience as the millions that have gone after them and those that will come after us. We can listen to God and obey his voice. Do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. So let me ask you, what's God telling you to do? For some of us, it's a call to get up and leave Egypt. Whatever you're in bondage to right now, if it's anger, worry, resentment, hatred, part of it is it's time to get out of Egypt. It's time to move forward and ask the Lord to help you with that. For others, maybe it's some habit or hang up that is really hindering our walk with Christ, and it's time to move out of that bondage. He died to set you free. He's already done the transformative work. Walk in it. Maybe for some of us, though, it's not that. It's a call to be a part of his plan of salvation. Maybe for you, God's calling you to walk like Joseph walked to another country. He's not calling you to go to another country. He's calling you to go to another bedroom down the hall of your house and share the gospel with someone. Maybe he's calling you to go to the neighbor next door. Maybe he's calling you to go to the person that works in the cubicle next to you or the assembly line next to you. Or he's calling you to go maybe it is to go someplace else. We have not been able to go on the mission trips like we normally would this year because of COVID. It's coming back. We will be going again. But the reality is God has not slowed down his mission work around the world. We still get to partner with missionaries all over the world. We have seen even in Central Asia, in Kyrgyzstan, the church that we support and partner as a church has now an underground church trying to barely survive, we would think. But yet this church has multiplied and another work has been started in the same city. Why? Because people like you have been obedient to give so that others can go. And remember, your money will go where you'll never be able to go. And so I encourage you, for some, if God's calling you to give towards missions, give it now. If God's calling you to serve someone, serve them now. If he's calling you to go, get your passport in order and be ready to go. There will be a day we'll travel again, but for now, it's the days that we seek to live it out in our community and around us. Walk in that obedience. Find a way to serve others. Christmas is over. And so in these days and weeks and months that follow, will we do the same as Joseph? Will we walk in obedience? Will we walk out the narrative of God? Will we live that out? Would you pray with me? Father God, my desire is to be like Joseph. I want to be obedient. I want to do what you tell me to do when you tell me to do it. Father, I want to pay attention. I want to hear you speak to me through dreams, and I want to hear you speak to me through your word. Father, I want to be full of grace and truth. I want to offer grace like he did to Mary before he even knew the circumstance. I want to walk in truth as he was bound to live on his own before he understood the circumstance. Father, I want to do the same things. Lord, my prayer is not that I could become well known. My prayer is that I could walk in obedience and be known by you as a man who followed after you. Lord, would you do that in the lives of the people in this room? Would you do that in the lives of those who are participating online? Could we together say, all glory be to Christ our King. His will be done. His kingdom come in my life, in our lives, and we will give all glory to Christ. Father, for the people in this room and those participating online or listening on the radio who are walking in bondage, who are living in Egypt when you've delivered them already, just as the Savior came out of Egypt, may they come out of Egypt. Just as the Israelites walked out of Egypt, may they walk out of Egypt. God, help them. They'll need your plan. They'll need your grace. They'll need your power. Father, let us walk in obedience to you. And Father, I pray that we leave here today desiring these last few days of 2020 to give all glory to Christ, to point to you in your goodness and your grace. May we live that out, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.